Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've got a lot going on this week with those going back to school and getting things in order. We do have several we get to celebrate birthdays with this week. On Tuesday, Jordan Buck celebrates a birthday, so make sure you wish Jordan a happy birthday. On Wednesday, Billy Buck has a birthday, as well as Lila Ayotte has a birthday. So make sure that you wish her and Billy a happy birthday for Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Dustin Gasway is celebrating a birthday as well. It's always great when we get to recognize those and be thankful for them, especially on those days. We get to be a little extra thankful. And so make sure that you share in that joy with them as well. We've been looking at our faith over fear of things. This morning, we're going to look at our faith over fear of Satan. You think about here in 1 Peter chapter 5, as Peter's writing, he writes to the church. There are things that as he's writing to his audience, being the church, one of those things is making sure that we understand that it's not just us that are going through difficult times, that everybody faces those times of difficulty. In fact, here, beginning in verse number 6, Peter writes to say, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." When you think about this for just a moment, that at times it's easier for us to be humble than at others. It's easier at times to cast those things that are really getting us and bothering us, to cast those upon the Lord. There are other times when we think, I don't want to be a burden. Maybe I can handle this one myself and I'll take care of it. That never works out well. It never works out for us when we decide to take those things and we'll just handle them. God, I'll take this off your plate. Listen, I don't know the magnitude of God. I don't understand it. We can look at Scripture and we can try to understand truly how big He is, but there's not anything that we really truly ever see for us physically to understand just how powerful truly He is. We can look at the world around us. We can see all that He spoke into existence. We can look at our brethren and we can see the love that God has bestowed upon mankind and those who have taken advantage of that grace that's been bestowed, of the sacrifice that Jesus made. I can look at my brothers and sisters in Christ and be so thankful for each and every one of you. And I can talk to you and we can have those discussions and I can tell you about things that are going on in my life and things that I need help with. And I love it. It's such a blessing. But I think at times I treat you like I treat God. I don't want to necessarily put this burden upon you. I don't want to talk to you about that certain thing. And so I don't talk to anybody. I don't even talk to him. I just keep all that inside. Do you notice in verse 7, he says, cast all care. Not some of it, not what you feel like, not what you think is important. He said, cast it all upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he wants the absolute best for you and me. That's what he wants. That's his desire. I want the absolute best for you. And why is that such a big deal? Why is that so important? Notice here what Satan does. Satan, in verse 8, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If I'm caught up thinking about all of these other things that are going on in my life and in the world around me, am I sober-minded to be able to resist him? Am I clear-minded to be able to face him and the temptations and those things that come? Not if I've got everything else on my mind, I don't. Listen, we love our brethren. I think about Gary and Twyla. They've been on my mind a lot this week. They've been on our minds a lot lately. Do we pray about it? Do we let God have it? Kids are going back to school. I've got two that are going back to school. I've got one that graduated, which is still mind-blowing. It's still hard to accept at times. But I think about their lives and what they're going to be going up against, the things that they could be facing. We prayed about those things. We let God have them so that we can make sure that we demonstrate what it is in our lives to resist the devil, to be able to stand up against everything that he is going to be throwing at us, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when those things are going to be coming our way. We've got to make sure that we are prepared and ready to stand up against those things. He's an adversary. He is the adversary that comes up against us. He's the one that wants to take us down. He's the one who wants to devour us eternally, spiritually. What he desires for us is to think about ourselves. What he wants is us to be like we get to be at times. He wants me to focus on me. He wants me to handle my own problems. Because if I'm working on handling my own problems, then I'm not concerned with God. I'm not thinking about him, which is exactly what he wants. Why? Because the farther I am away from God, the closer to the devil I am. And when I'm closer to the devil, then what he's looking at is, you're going to spend eternity with me. You see, I've got to be sober-minded, clear-headed, to be able to go up against him, to be able to face those things that he would bring into my life. Sober, vigilant. I have to put forth effort. I've got to be on my guard. And again, if I'm concerned with everything else, I'm not going to be on my guard. I've got to make sure that I'm looking at every angle that he could possibly be coming at me, making sure that I stand against him. I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. I want you to look at Job chapter 1. I want you to think about something. Satan has come before God. We've learned all the Job's possessions, his family, his household, all that he has. Satan has come at Job. In chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth." Notice, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Have you considered that servant? Look at chapter 2 and verse number 3. God is speaking again to Satan. "Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." Notice, he still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Do you see the type of uprightness that he has? Brethren, we're going to face difficulties. We're going to have things that are going to come at us. Will we still have that integrity to stand up and demonstrate our faith and show my faith is in God, not in myself? My faith is not based on how good things are going for me. My faith is not going to be weakened because of those things, that adversities and whatever else that I face, those difficulties that I have that come into my life. Am I going to allow those things to shake my faith? Here, I want you to think about Satan himself. We talk about this with the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Satan himself is the one coming after Job. He's taken all that he has, his family, possessions, household, everything gone. He's going to come at him now with his own health. He's going to come at him from all these different sides. Satan doesn't relent. When you go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to think about this. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse number 8. Think about this. He's coming for you personally. He may not have all the boils covered head to toe the way that Job was. We may not lose everything in the manner in which Job did. But I want you to think about this. Satan was the adversary of Job, pitting him against God, wanting him to blame God for everything that he did. God said Job's a man of integrity, standing up. Satan's going to do the same thing to you and I, because what he wants is us to blame God for anything bad, and he wants us to take credit for ourselves for anything good that goes on in our life. He says, your adversary, you got to be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He's not quiet about it. He even says, seeking whom he may devour. He wants you. He wants your soul. You know, we see that picture at times of the poster of Uncle Sam, right? Stern face, finger pointed, I want you. That's the devil. That's what he looks like. He's got a finger pointed. He's stern-faced. I want you. Not to come join the military. I want your soul. I want you everlastingly to spend eternity in hell with me. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. I want to take you away from God. I want you to question him and how much he loves you and how good he really wants it for you. When things are great, I want you to take the pride, that boasting pride we talked about this morning. Take that upon yourself. All the good that you have, everything that you've done, look at you and how great you are. The devil walks about because he wants our souls everlastingly. Here's the incredible part in verse 9. Peter writes, he says, resist him. You know, when Peter writes this and he says resist him, it's because we can. You understand? It's because we can. We don't have anything given to us that we're not able to do. God does not give us anything that we can't accomplish. His burdens are light. They are able to be carried. We're able to resist the devil. You understand? We're able to resist him. But we've got to be somewhere. Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast. Always remaining in the faith. There's not a time where I can step out of my faith in God and putting my faith in God and be okay. Not ever. I've got to be in Christ, steadfast in the faith, always there. That's where my walk is. That's what my life looks like. And you know, the thing is, God doesn't leave me alone right there. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. God doesn't leave me alone just to figure it out. Steadfast in the faith. You can put a marker at 1 Peter 5. We're going to come back there in just a little bit. But I want you to think about this. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So let me show you what your life is to look like. God says, I'm not leaving you out there on your own to have to overcome this. Here in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want you to think about this. In verse 18, we are to pray with all supplication, right? We are to pray to God. We talk to God. That's the relationship we have. And what do I desire? I desire the absolute best. Look at how this ends. We pray, are watchful to this end with all perseverance. There's my endurance to get through. Supplication, meaning that I speak to God and I inquire of him. There it goes back to my prayer life. For all the saints. I pray for my brethren. I am to be praying for my brethren. Do you see that shield of faith in verse 16 that he tells us where to take up? That shield of faith. That you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That goes back to 1 Peter chapter 5. He's coming. You stand fast where? In the faith. There's the shield that I take up. You know, everything about this armor of God is defensive. That I'm going to be able to stand against everything of the devil. When I put on that armor, I'm defending myself every single day. The only offensive weapon I have, the Word of God. That sword, the word that I have written in my heart, the word that I have studied diligently so that I can stand and make sure that I'm ready at all times. You know, with knowledge is power, right? We've heard that saying before. That power is for me to be able to speak boldly. Well, if I don't know something, I'm not going to speak boldly. I'm going to be cowardly. I'm going to be weak. Somebody asked me to talk about something of which I have no knowledge. I'm probably going to put my hand up. I'm going to mumble a little bit. You may not even be able to make out the words that I say. And I'm going to want to talk as fast as I possibly can so that I can be done. Why? Because I don't know. But when it comes to the Word of God, brethren, we can speak boldly, loudly. We can stand our ground to be able to help others to see what they're supposed to do. You know, you think about armor, we think about perhaps the Romans, one of the greatest armies as far as the wars that they went into, the preparation that they had, the fact that they were almost an unstoppable force when they went into battle. They were incredible to be able to watch. And I invite you to go back and you can read some history about them to see how they set things up. But that armor that they had, they wanted no weak spots. They wanted it strong. And they took safety in numbers. We should be taking safety in numbers with our brethren, knowing we're not facing these things on our own. But instead, we're able to stand because we have prepared ourselves to go into battle every single day. We are prepared and ready. I don't need to have fear of the devil. I can have faith because here's the greatest part. Time after time throughout Scripture, think about the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel. You all stood with him. He's going to stand alone. And he knows who's behind him. He knows that God is there. And that God is the one who is going to be behind him. And he was bold in all that he did. Brethren, we don't stand alone. We've got one another. I've got you to lean on. We don't have to stand alone. We are the mightiest army on the face of this earth because we have God. Because we are his. We sing a song during VBS a lot of times. I'm in the Lord's army. What do I want for my kids? If I'm teaching them I'm in the Lord's army and yet they watch Dad be cowardly and everything, am I showing them what it is to be in the Lord's army? No. Am I showing them what it is to be prepared to go out every day and face the wiles of the devils? Having that faith that is able to quench anything and everything that he's going to throw at me? I better take careful diligence and be vigilant every day, purposeful every day in the way that I live my life, so that I can show them what it is to have faith over the devil. Not fear of him. I have my faith placed in God. Look with me at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 7. James writes, we call this the Gospel of Common Sense. I love this book. And you think about what God gives in verse 6 as his grace to those who will follow after him. And so in verse 7 he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I'm to be humble. I am to submit. I am to submit to God and resist the devil. Notice what happens. He will flee from you. You know, there are times that Paul has written to men like Timothy. He tells him to flee youthful lusts. Same idea. We run the opposite direction. You know what happens when we submit to God and resist the devil? He runs in the opposite direction. He turns and runs.
It's not me turning to run from him. He's running from me. Why? Because I'm clothed in the armor of God and I'm fighting him with God's word. That's why he does it. I resist him. How? Steadfast in the faith. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to notice verse number 9. I resist him steadfast in the faith. And what do I know? Here's what I get to know. That the same things that I go through, the same things that I suffer, they're being experienced by my brethren all over the world. That I'm not in this alone. I think at times when things get rough, we start to try to play the one-up game. I had a buddy that we called him the king of one-upmanship. If you had something happen, he's had it happen 100 times worse. All the time. Instead of trying to one-up somebody, what if we just bow and pray? What if we understand the difficulty that they're going through is not easy for them? And instead of me trying to make them feel like lesser of a person and build myself up, why don't we just stop and pray? Why don't we stop and pray and help them to understand, I love you and I just want the absolute best for you. And then maybe we can have a conversation. We can talk about things we struggle with. And it's not to one up them. It's just the fact that maybe we can bow our heads again then and we can say a prayer. You realize if that's the type of relationship that we have, that type of fellowship of I just want the absolute best for you and I don't care if you know that what I'm dealing with I think is worse than yours. Because perhaps what they're dealing with they think is far worse than what we're going through. Because maybe they're looking at ours and they think, I could handle that, but I'm struggling with this. And we think, well, I could handle that, but I'm struggling with this. Where if we didn't have that type of thought go through our mind, we just said, let's just stop and pray. Let's talk to God. Let's cast this care upon him because he cares for me. Let's just cast it there. And we do that for one another. You know what suddenly happens? What suddenly happens is verses 10 and 11. But may the God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you see what God's part is? When I cast all my care on him, when I humble myself, submit to his will, cast all my care on him, I'm now sober and vigilant because I'm dedicated to service to him. What takes place? What takes place is I resist the devil and I love my brethren and I want to help them. So I pray for them and we pray for each other. Notice what takes place. Here's God's part coming back in verse number 10. God is the one who has all grace. He's the one who called us out by Jesus Christ, his son, who he raised from the dead. What happens? We've suffered a while. Notice what he does. We go through those sufferings. We're not alone. First and foremost, we have God, but we also have one another to be able to face all of those things. God's part is this. He's going to be the one to perfect. He's the one who washes us clean. He's the one who keeps us that way because we are following after him, doing according to his will. God's the one who perfects us. God is the one then who establishes and strengthens. You know that steadfast in the faith that's established in him. And so my foundation is in God. Notice what happens. I'm being strengthened through his word. I'm being strengthened through him because what he wants for me is the absolute best. So now I find strength in him. I find strength and draw strength from my brethren. And what happens? I'm settled. I'm clear and calm. I'm at home in him. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. I'm not racing all over the place like a chicken with my head cut off with all these other things on my mind. I'm settled in him. I'm rational. I'm clear-minded. I'm at home in my faith because he's the one who's put me there. He's planted me there. Why? Because this right here is what I lead my life with every single day. Not my opinions, not what I think, not drawing off strength from myself, but strength from him. because he's the one who gives me his strength to make it through any difficulty that I'm going to go up against. Anything the devil could throw at me, God has already prepared me for through his word. I have that shield of faith. I have a helmet. My feet, I'm covered head to toe. You understand? My feet are shod, covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's not an ounce of me that is left open to the devil unless I've left it that way. He's the one who is going to establish strength. He's the one who gives us endurance to get through it. He's the one who settles us in him, puts us in that place of calm. We can handle anything that Satan can throw at us. I have no reason to fear the devil. I have every reason to put my faith in God because of everything that he desires to do for me. He wants the best for us. That's what he wants. He cares for you, verse 7. I can throw all my cares there. I don't need to carry them around. The devil wants me to carry them around because he wants that separation between me and God. He wants to be in between us. You think about men like Job, the integrity that he had to continue to stand even after everything in his world was crashing down around him. He was going to stand and face anything that came with God, knowing God was on his side. What about you? God on your side? Here's the thing. For those that are outside of Christ, God can't be on your side. You're not in him. There's a way you can get into Christ by hearing his word, believing in him as the Son of God, willing to confess him as the Son of God, repenting of your sin, submitting to his will and his authority by being buried with him in baptism where he washes away your sin. You can rise to walk in newness of life, faithful unto death. This morning, maybe as a child of God, you've been thinking that you're doing pretty okay on your own, that you can take on all of those things that are thrown at you and you'll just handle them yourself. Be honest with yourself. You're losing. And you're going to lose. You can't handle it on your own. That's not how God created us. He created us to be humble, submitting to his will, casting those cares upon him, so we can be clear-minded and sober facing the devil, remembering that God has given us everything we need to stand against him. I can stand strong in the faith, and so can you. We can do it with each other. We can't do it without God. Our faith has to be in him. And this morning, if your faith is lacking, there's something we can do to help you. We'd ask you to come forward at this time as together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.